Good morning. I want to start off by saying something that I should probably say more than I do. So it's been about 10 months, going on 10 months in the next week or two, that we have been here with this church, and I just want to thank you all so much. We really have come to love this congregation, come to love many of you, and it is, you know, I've worked with other churches. I have visited a lot of churches. I know a lot of preachers who work with a lot of churches. I ministers are like my group, you know, we hang out. And really and truly, this is an exceptional church, and you need to know that. You need to know that you are richly blessed to be a member of this church here. Not a lot of churches are doing as much as this church is. Not a lot of churches have the leadership and the eldership that this church does. This is a wonderful group of men who serve here as elders. There are so many people here who are active, who are growing. And, you know, when I think about where I want to go to church, you know, you're like, well, you're the preacher. You have to go. You know, there's an extent to which you're like, well, you gotta, but really, when I think about where I want to go to church, I think about places that I want to grow spiritually, and I think about places where I want my wife to be loved and cared for and to grow. I think about places where I want my children to be able to call home, and I'm very, very happy that it's this place right here. And so I just want to thank you all for that as we begin this lesson. Secondly, I would like you to turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 is going to be kind of the main idea, the main passage that we're going to be looking at here for this lesson. We're going to be continuing our series. In fact, actually, we're going to be kind of summing it up today. This lesson, this series on with respect to Christianity, and we're going to be looking at one final topic that I think is one that, you know, 20 years ago you would never hear a lesson on this. But I believe it's become relevant. I believe it's become extraordinarily relevant, actually. And it's probably something we should talk about more because it's something that most people are engaged in every single day. And I think it can be something that's either extremely valuable or something that's extremely dangerous. I've seen people who have benefited from it, and I've seen lives destroyed largely because of it. And so it's certainly something we need to address, and that is social media. Basically, technology, social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all of this stuff that, you know, you have cross-generationally people who use these platforms, these sites, every single day. And so probably as a Christian, we should think about them some. Anything that is extremely relevant in society and anything that people spend hours on every day probably needs to be addressed from a Christian mindset and a Christian perspective. And so that's what we're going to talk about here this morning. The reality, I've read through the Bible, and the Bible just doesn't say much about Instagram. You can read through the Bible, and you can realize that there's not a ton very specific about the topic of social media. But the Bible does say an awful lot about how we are to treat one another. And the Bible does say an awful lot about doing unto others as you would have them do unto to you, and how that plays out in everyday real life situations. And the main point that I'm going to be making is the same way that you know as a Christian you were called to love your neighbor when he's there standing in front of you is the same way you treat your neighbor on the computer. It's the same way you treat your neighbor on Facebook or on Instagram or on whatever social media platform you use. There is a call for all of us to remember that we are Christians. There is a call for every single one of us, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, to remember, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him, through him to God the Father. Whether you are face-to-face with somebody, whether you are, you know, sending a tweet or whatever, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, whether you're on the computer or whether you're standing face-to-face, you are acting as a Christian. So act in the name of Jesus. And I think that, just that one starting point right there, if every time you log on to the computer, every time you get on your phone, every time you get on something, you remember, whatever I do right now, I'm going to do it in the name of Jesus. I think that would solve a tremendous amount of problems. I think we'd probably say a lot less, because I think one of the best things that remembering Jesus does is it's a filter. And a lot of the things that are inside should be kept inside. And not everything should be made public. Not everything should be said privately to another person. Certainly not everything should be said publicly to anyone and everyone who wants to see it. So remember that we are called to live a certain way, and that way doesn't exclude social media. And so we're going to be talking about some of that stuff. Now, I fully understand that not everybody here is on social media. There are some people who aren't on it at all. And so I don't want this just to be a completely boring sermon for you or entirely irrelevant, because like I said, virtually everything that I'm going to say can apply the same to a face-to-face conversation as it does to social media. And so I think just fusing those two together and realizing that the disconnect we feel just because we're on a computer or on a cell phone isn't what we should use to ignore some of the things that are very central in the Bible. Pretend that there's no disconnect there. Pretend that you are standing right in front of somebody, and that might change the way that you talk to them. And so to begin, I'm going to start off listing some of the dangers and some of the pitfalls when it comes to social media. These are things that I think every one of us could benefit from thinking more about, especially some self-reflection with how we use it. And the first one is thinking that everything I'm going to say is a problem for others. I think there's a tendency, especially among older people, to think that, yeah, this is going to be a lesson for the youth. This is not just a lesson for the youth. This is not a lesson that's even specifically directed towards youth. When it comes to social media, I mean, first of all, if you look at, like, the demographics, like, take Facebook, for example. There aren't a lot of youth on Facebook anymore. When I first started on Facebook, I think it was 2006, and at that time, it was just for college students, and it was mostly just, like, random pictures and out-of-context quotes people would put on there. It was like, you heard your friend say something, and so you're like, oh, that'd be funny to post, and so you post it on there, and, like, it was more something like that. But then Facebook kind of opened up to where it wasn't just for college students, and the only way you could get on it was to be invited by another student, and you had to put it in your school. But now it's just for anyone and everyone. And as soon as older people are allowed to get on something, the young people flee. That's the way it's always worked. And that's what's happened with Facebook, largely. So Facebook, you have an older demographic that uses that. And then when you look at some of the numbers, like, you know, with Twitter, Twitter's getting older now, too. But then you also have, you know, Instagram, you have TikTok, which I don't have a TikTok. But basically, you go through and you have these different things, and basically, you will see that the youth and the elderly and everyone in between can find a home on social media. And a lot of people have. And the problems that some of the youth go into might not always be the same as the problems that the older folks go into. But I think both of us can sometimes end up running into some problems on social media. So don't hear this lesson and just think, oh, this is for them. Be self-reflective during it, introspective, and see if there's anything that perhaps you can change about the way that you use your online presence. Number two, a pitfall or a problem, is echo chambers and groupthink. Here's what you can do, and this is something that's happened. People who have perhaps a personality quirk or something unique about them, who used to think they were all alone, can now find groups of people who think the way that they do and who believe the way that they do. And sometimes that can be a helpful thing. Sometimes that can be a very dangerous thing. There are people who, you know, they basically have communities online where they meet with a bunch of people who think a lot like them. And when everyone thinks the way that you do and no one challenges the way that you think, or if they begin to, they get ostracized from your online community, then what could end up happening is you grow more and more emboldened and you begin to understand people who think differently than you less and less and less. They become stranger and stranger. They become like aliens. They become like people who, well, no honest person could ever possibly think that. And it's because you have kind of centered yourself away from those other people to where the only thing you hear is the thing that you already agree with and the thing that you want to hear. And that's a dangerous thing. The way a lot of these sites are set up is that the news feeds that show up and appear to you are based on the news that you want to see, either because you agree with it or because it will rile you up. But either way, what it does is it plays on your history, and so it doesn't show you a random selection of news. It doesn't show you a random selection of other people's posts. It intentionally shows you what you're most likely to click. And people, by the way, are most likely to click on the stuff that makes them mad. They think, no way, and they click it. And then they read it, and then they get mad. And so they do that over and over again. Why? Because it gets you to spend more time, and it gets you to get more clicks. And so it's designed to keep you agitated, and it is designed to keep you hearing the stuff that's going to cement your beliefs further. Now, if every single day you get online and you see news articles about the people you don't like, about your enemies, whether they're political, national, whatever, and everything about them is bad, do you think that will help you love your neighbor, or do you think that will hurt that? Here's what it tends to do. People who spend a lot of time online, and especially people who get their news from social media, they end up growing more and more bitter and callous, resentful and hateful towards whoever their enemy is. That's a dangerous place to be. Groupthink and echo chambers that always pat you on the back for your beliefs and ridicule other people for their beliefs can end up destroying you. So be very cautious about that. Another pitfall is, if you think about the whole like aspect of likes and comments, and you know, there's different faces you could do on Facebook, and there's like the little heart you can do on Instagram, but like all these ways that people can show that they like what you posted. Here's what you're doing. You're putting yourself out there, and you're allowing everybody else to grade you. You're allowing everybody to define your worth based on either how clever you just were, or how forcefully you said something, or how attractive you are, or how fun you are, or all of these different things. And so what happens when, say, you're in school? By the way, I, when I was in high school, we didn't have this. Like, Facebook, I think, was around when I was in high school, but it was just starting. I'm kind of too old for some of these things when I was in high school. I can't imagine going to high school with Instagram. I can't imagine going to high school where I could see what my friends have posted and what they're doing. You could see what the other people at school have done, and you could see that this person has 483 likes, and then I post a picture of me, and I get like 3 and an insult or something like that, and all of a sudden, I'm like, man, how do I compete? It, like, that would be really difficult day in and day out to be reminded that this person is better than you. Which, by the way, that person's not better than you. That's the most arbitrary and terrible way in the world to determine someone's wealth. But people start to feel that someone's worth. But that's the way that people end up feeling. It's like you define your value as a person based on the way other people rate you on some of these platforms, and I cannot think of much that's a less healthy way to live life than having that over your head every day. But people do, and it's a burden people have to deal with and struggle with day in and day out. You get to see when your friends did something fun, and you think, why wasn't I there? You post something that you think is cool, and all of a sudden, nobody seems to like this. And it's like, why is it? And it can make you feel terrible about yourself. You can define your value not in Jesus, not in your family, not in even your friends, but on how often people click something about you. And that's a pretty dangerous way to define yourself. It can create jealousy when you see that other people travel more than you do. When you see that other people seem to always be happy and things are always going well. Here's the reality. Social media is a highlight reel for the most part. It's like your best moments. And there's nothing wrong with putting your best moments on there. I don't want to put my darkest weaknesses and stuff on there. It's like, I want to go through this when I want to see pictures of my kids as I scroll through and I'm like, oh, I remember that was a fun day. It's like, I post things a lot of times because my parents don't live near me and they get to see the kids. And so, like, I'm not trying to post bad stuff on there. But what happens is what people see is only the good. And then they're intimately familiar with their own life and their own struggles and their own failures and their own weaknesses and their own bad things that they go through. And they look and they say, like, this person never goes through anything bad. I mean, I hate to mention it, but there's a pretty well-known story that's going through the news cycle about Gabby, who had been on a trip with her boyfriend, who he ended up returning home, and they found last week, I believe, a body that consistent with her remains, and this girl died. And she posted a lot of stuff on social media, and if you look at those posts, they're very positive and happy, like she's having a wonderful time on this trip. But then they started investigating, and they find out that there's domestic abuse involved, and there are a lot of problems that were also accompanying that trip. If all you had was social media, you're not getting the truth of what's taking place. Social media is a terrible place to learn truth about another person, to learn truth even about topics. It's not designed for that purpose very well. And so if you begin to look at other people's highlight reels and compare them to your real life, you can end up growing jealous, envious, and bitter. That's also not a very helpful thing. Social media has the pitfall of distance. So things like bullying, things like becoming overly aggressive in an argument are much easier to do where you don't see the tears rolling down the person's face. If you can actually see a person that you have hurt through what you said, that should impact you. But if you can remove that element and all you are is just speaking in front of everyone so that you're not thinking about that person anymore, now you're thinking about how many people will like this argument. How many people? It's a terrible place for any sort of quest for truth, because you can dehumanize the person you're talking to because you don't see the human element, and you talk to them in front of everybody. So it's like you're competing with them to see who likes what you say the most. And you get a pat on the back every time someone clicks like. You get a pat on the back every time someone says amen. You know, like, and all of a sudden, you're not just having a conversation one-on-one. You've invited a crowd to watch. That gets your pride involved. That gets the desire to win at all costs involved. And that's a terrible way to ever try to reach truth with another person. So again, that's a pitfall. I would say that's true with a host of topics. Some of the most contentious, with pretty much this is always true, tend to be religion and tend to be politics. Social media platforms are a terrible place to have those types of conversations. Even if you're correct, that's not a good place to do it. Because of all the stuff that we just said, you're dehumanizing the person that you're talking to by not talking to a real human. It feels like you're talking to a computer. Even if you, in your mind, know that there's another person on the other side of it, if you don't see them and hear them, you can assume the worst of them. And then you invite everybody to watch, and all of a sudden, it's like you're fighting for your team, and your team's all there standing on the sidelines cheering for you, and they want you to win, and you want to win, and guess what? People don't generally grow to love God more in that type of environment. I'm not saying don't use social media at all. I use social media. Most of you are adults. Some of you aren't adults. But I have no problem with people using it. But be aware of what the pros and the cons are. Be aware that it's not a... I know very specifically firsthand of people who have left the church and people who have grown very dissatisfied or disenchanted with the church because they get on Facebook and they see the way that people that, like, in person, this is a wonderful, nice guy, and he's a great leader in the church. And then you see him on Facebook, and he's, like, insulting people, and he's cruel, and he's putting politics above his brothers and sisters in Christ. And that happens a lot. One of the most common struggles that people have reached out to me with is, I didn't know that the church was so hateful. And you know where they learned it? They learned it on social media, seeing elders in the church. No, I'm not talking here, by the way. But this is a conversation I had not long ago. Someone who saw an elder at his church who was lambasting and criticizing people who would go to that church because of views on a particular political topic. And it's just, you can do a lot more harm for the church than you realize. You really can. I don't know that there's a more public way that people view Christianity now than seeing what Christians post on Facebook. I mean, people don't usually judge us based on what we're doing right now because most people don't see what we're doing right now. People don't judge the private act of kindness towards your neighbor because they don't see that. But people do see the thing you get on there and say about the president. People do see that. And people end up judging Christianity based on the cruelty that they see on social media. Even if everyone's cruel on social media, Christians shouldn't be. We have an opportunity to show a new and a better way. Another potential pitfall is it becomes an easy place to start judging other people. And you see things other people do and you're like, I didn't realize they would say that word. I didn't realize that they would wear that. I didn't realize, why were they at the game instead of at church? And all of a sudden, even if what you're saying is legitimate, maybe they should put church above the game. Maybe they shouldn't wear that. You know, if you start seeing people in that state, and then that becomes how you define them, you start defining people by the things that they do in a judgmental way that, again, you don't want to define people by their worst moments and by their worst elements. That's never a healthy way to go about seeing another person. I believe social media, if we're real, it also is a gateway to some pretty dangerous habits like pornography, other things as well. Granted, you don't need to be on social media to see pornography, and there are some sites like Facebook and Instagram that try to monitor that, although there are ways around it. When it comes to things like Twitter, and when it comes to things like Snapchat and other things like that, I mean, you could very easily get the most explicit stuff in the world on there, unfiltered in any way, and that can be very, very dangerous and harmful as well. We don't have time to do a whole lesson on the dangers and pitfalls of pornography, but hopefully you can agree it's not a healthy thing and it's not something that honors Christ. And so those are types of things that you can, even if you're not trying to, you can accidentally slip into something, and then once you find yourself there, it can become harder and harder and harder to get off of it. Addiction itself. If you think about this, these social media platforms are not made by dumb people. They're made by very highly skilled, highly trained, and highly paid people who design them so that people will use them. They want you to use them. They want you to spend time on them. Obviously, they do. So here's what they do. They spend their time and energy and efforts trying to figure out ways of designing them to make you want to be on them. That means they try to make them addictive. They try to make you want to click on things. I saw an article not long ago, and it was, you could see like the first part of it, but you couldn't see the rest of the title. And it left you kind of on a cliffhanger. The only way to read the rest of the title was to click the article. You think someone thought that through? Yes, they did. Like, that's what they do. And so the fact that you get these nice notifications that pop up, you're like, ooh, someone wants to talk to me. It gives you a good feeling. The games that they put on there, they make you want to keep coming back to them. You have experts working on your mind to make sure you're never bored again, to make sure that you never have quiet alone time again. They want to steal your quiet alone time. They want to steal your quiet your family time playing games. They want to make it to where you can't watch a movie anymore without a phone in your hand. And you know what? They've succeeded pretty well. I mean, that happens all the time. People, it's like they don't enjoy movies anymore. Why? Because they've only paid attention to half of it. Because the other half was they're looking at their phone. That happens all the time. And that's not an accident. People are working to steal your brain and to steal your time so that, and they're pretty good at it. The fact that you could become addicted to social media. You know, I don't know if all phones do this. I know iPhones do. You can get a weekly report sent to you that tells you how much time you have spent on your phone and how much time you have spent on each site and on social media and all of that. And I tell you what, if you haven't been paying attention to that and then you start getting this information sent back to you, it can be alarming. You're like, no way. I read something recently that talked about just the amount of words that you read on Facebook in a given day. If you were to accumulate those, like count those up and add them together, Do you know how many actual books you could have read by reading that number of words? I mean, I guess it varies from person to person, but on average, it's a tremendous amount of actual beneficial reading you can do that instead we spend just kind of scrolling, reading this sentence, scrolling, reading this sentence, scrolling, reading this sentence. It can become addictive. It can steal your time and energy. One final pitfall before we move on is, and this is also something I know has happened. I know specifically of people who this has happened to. Social media is a great way to renew old friendships, to keep in contact with people who you don't see very often. There's real benefits to it there. But because of that, I've known of married people who have not only renewed old friendship, but rekindled old flames through meeting up with someone on social media that maybe they hadn't seen in a long time. And you like their post, you write them a nice comment, you send them a message, they send you a message, it gets flirtatious, and all of a sudden, you end up in a place you never, ever, ever thought you were gonna be. That can happen. Granted, like anything else, that can happen at the workplace, that can happen other places also. Not all of these are limited to social media, but they're things to be aware of. They're things to be at least cautious about as you spend time on it. However, let's turn this lesson around. There are positive sides to social media as well. There are some good things that happen. It is a good way to keep in touch with people. Like I mentioned earlier, I don't live near my parents. We don't get to see them that often. They don't get to see their grandkids in person that often. They like it when I post things about the kids. They can see pictures. They can see what we're doing. They enjoy that. So I try to do that every once in a while when I think to do it. And so there are things like that where keeping in contact with family, there's a lot of benefits. Encouraging other people, spreading your faith. It used to be that if you preached a sermon, as soon as your words stopped at the end of that sermon, the message was gone forever. You just never had it anymore. Now, it's like, if I'm trying to remember something I said 2 months ago, I can pull it up on social media. I can go to Facebook, our church Facebook page, and I can remember. It's like, okay, I said that. Why would I want to do that? Well, it's not always. Sometimes I'm trying to think, I hope I didn't say that. But one of the good things is it provides access to actual good spiritual content, to teaching. You can be an encourager. You can teach other people. You can show people your faith in a more public way now than you ever could before. There's benefit to that. There's tremendous benefit. There are people who have become Christians because of social media and the contacts that they met through social media. There are people who have learned the truth of the gospel. There are people who have started going to, there are very good things that have happened and been utilized through technology and through social media. And so I'm gonna stay on it. I think if you're careful, the good can by far outweigh the bad. But you do have to be careful. You do have to be aware. It can provide teaching opportunities. You can, because so many people are bad on social media, you can stand out as a good example pretty easily. I'll brag on my wife for just a second, but she was actually contacted not long ago by someone who's an atheist that she's known for a long time, and he was expressing doubt about his atheism, and basically told her he always sees her as a positive example. He always sees her as someone who seems to legitimately take Christianity seriously, but she's not cruel about it, and he wanted to know if he's wasting his life as an atheist. I thought, the fact that this guy who lives in Oklahoma, who hasn't talked to you in 10 years, but has seen you on social media, reached out to you to talk about this intensely personal matter, that's good. That means something. That, keep it up. I think social media can provide positive platforms like that, teaching opportunities. Facebook, and Twitter, some of the things that I'm on, I follow a bunch of New Testament scholars on Twitter, and they'll post articles and things. I could do a lot of research and learning because of social media. You could too. I'm part of some history pages, some ministry pages, some language pages. There's different things that you could join that will help you learn, that can help well-round you as a person. And so I think that there are benefits to it in those ways as well. In Matthew 25, Jesus gives a series of parables, kind of preparing for the end. This is how you should live when you don't know when the end is coming. When you don't know how the Son of Man will return, how should you live now? And some of those parables are about being willing to wait for the long haul and preparing for the long haul. Some of those parables are about using the talents that God has given you. But there's one really famous one in Matthew 25 about sheep and goats. And the goats are cast into eternal destruction, and the sheep are welcomed into eternal life. And when given the reason why the goats and why the sheep have been separated, the actual reason in the text that it says is, when I was hungry, Jesus speaking, you fed me. And when I was naked, you clothed me. And when I was homeless, you gave me shelter. And when I was in prison, you visited me. And all of a sudden, the people who are being condemned, or the people, rather, who are being, like, welcomed, they'll say, when did we ever see you in that situation, Jesus? Like, I've never seen Jesus. When did I ever see him naked or hungry? And he says, as much as you've done it to the least of these, my brothers, you've done it to me. And the logic of the passage is something like this. Treat others as you would treat Jesus. When you get on social media, if you're going to post something, post it as though Jesus is going to see it. If you're going to reply to somebody, reply as though you're talking to Jesus. If you're going to disagree with somebody, it's never smart to disagree with Jesus, but do it with the tact as if you were. Be willing to treat other people with more respect than you feel like they're worth, because God created them, and they are worthy of more respect than you feel that they are worth. Some questions maybe you could ask yourself before you post something, before you put something out there for the public to see, is, would I speak to my grandmother this way? Would I speak to a child this way? Would I speak to Jesus this way? Because the reality is, grandmothers see that, children see that, and yes, Jesus sees that. So keep them in mind before you post. Am I really being helpful, or am I trying to make myself feel better by getting this off my chest? I would say there are better, sometimes it's important to get things off your chest. Facebook's probably not the way to do it. There are healthier options than just unloading your frustrations there for the world to see. Who am I going to help by this post? Sometimes with political posts and things like that. I have pretty much never seen someone read some sarcastic or cruel comment about them and think, they're right, I should change my life. I'm going to go join their team now. That's just not how it usually works. Usually, if it's going to be sarcastic, no one is helped by it. Usually, if it's going to belittle or insult, it does zero good, except for the people who already agree with you will give you that like that makes you feel good about yourself. But that's not why we should be using social media. Finally, if a non-Christian saw this, would it help the church? Would it provide an opportunity to teach? Or would it reflect well on Jesus? If not, probably keep it to yourself. So here's the challenge as we draw our lesson to a close. Be an encourager. Use social media as a ministry. People are often looking for ministries to get involved in the church. I want a way to help. If you have a Facebook, you can do some ministry for the church. You can be an encourager. You can write things that you've learned that you think are interesting. You can put Bible verses. There are people in here, I know. They regularly post Bible verses that they came across in their reading. I love seeing that. That's encouraging. You can use social media as a way to benefit those around you. Try to do that. Challenge today is if you have social media, post a Bible verse that is meaningful to you today. Just post it on there. Maybe even say why this verse is meaningful to you. But if nothing else, post a verse that you find value in that is helpful to you. If there's anyone here who wants to become a Christian this morning, please let that be known. If you want to name Jesus as Lord of your life, if you want to confess him as your Lord, if you want to have your sins washed away in baptism to start life with him anew, we pray that you would let that be known. You could come sit on the front row or meet with one of our elders in the library in the back. But if you have the need, please let it be known while we stand and as we sing.